Well, we're going to turn to Matthew today, the last chapter of Matthew, since our brother Mark did not record this. We are thankful that our brother Matthew did. No problem. Because if you and I saw a wreck, which is so sad, we wouldn't all say the same things. You know, you might talk about the sound that you heard or what you saw. Yeah. What about the people? What about the vehicles, you know, all these different things said. No problem. Somebody can tell you that detail. We get all the details together. Matthew chapter 28. Let's look down where we had left off. Remember, the women were sent by Jesus to go and tell the apostles. He called them his brethren. What a wonderful term. He is the firstborn among many brethren. Now, verse 11 of Matthew chapter 28. Now, when they were going, that is the women, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. That's who the watch, the guards, the Greek word custodians. They were the ones in charge there. They gave large money unto the soldiers. And what was the caveat? Here's a bunch of money for you guys, saying, this is what you were to say, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, if he hears this report or rumor, we will persuade him and secure you or protect you from capital punishment, execution that you deserve. So they took the money and did as they were taught or as they were told. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Amen. We read in our reading there at verse 15, and we know that it is not only a saying that is commonly reported among the Jews, but also among many unbelieving Gentiles. Ah, don't believe that. Resurrection. Jesus' body was stolen. That's what they say. Well, may the Lord help us to see today the very clear truth of His holy word. We have spent the last three Lord's days considering the reactions of the ladies and then the 10 apostles' reaction to Christ's resurrection. We found that the women had pursued a much wiser and courageous course than the apostles pursued. Last week, Brother Richard preached that delightful message on the six things that you lose out on when you miss church. Wasn't that amazing? God's leading, God's providence. We didn't talk about what He was going to preach. We just heard it and enjoyed it. God caused Richard to preach on Christ suddenly appearing to the 10 apostles that same day after His feet had been held by the worshiping women. Wasn't that a coincidence? So continuing this morning with the events of that resurrection day, we see that not only were Christ's beloved people reacting to His resurrection, but also His enemies were reacting to His resurrection from the grave. Let us examine the reactions of, first, the frightened soldiers. Secondly, the fake spiritual leaders. And then third, the false story. That third point may seem out of place, But really, the false story was a reaction that continues to this very day. Though those soldiers are long gone, and those fake spiritual leaders of that day are long gone, the false story continues to this day among some unbelieving, and even some who would dare call themselves Christians. So it says there in verse 15, this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So first of all, the frightened soldiers we see in verse 11. Now when they were going, the women were going, behold, some of the watch, some of the guard, some of the soldiers came into the city. And what did they? It just says some of them came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. As the women were on their way to tell the apostles that Jesus was risen, some of the soldiers came into the city of Jerusalem. And this was a part of that military guard that had been there watching Christ too. Probably it was the commanding officer and those of rank that were coming with them, those that bore the greatest responsibility for securing the tomb. They're the ones that probably came. And they came to the rulers and the chief priests, meaning the religious rulers. And we do not know where the other numerous soldiers went, but when fear and trembling take hold of men and make them like dead men, they will find somewhere else to be, and usually in a hurry. So these officers delivered a full and a true account of all that had happened at the tomb. These men had been faithful to their duty. And even when the angel came and rolled back the stone, they didn't run away because they were standing there like dead men. You ever seen dead men run? No. So they were just standing there shaking. We know they were shaking. These officers delivered this report and they told the truth. The testimony of these enemies of Christ as pagan Roman soldiers was a legal certification of all that had happened at the resurrection. They no doubt, knowing the danger that they were in, decided to go to the one that they had been placed under. They had been placed under the Jewish leaders by Pilate. If you remember, the Jewish leaders had gone to Pilate and asked him for this entourage of soldiers to be placed at the tomb. And so they didn't go immediately to Pilate and say, "We failed. Here, we're ready to die now." Nope. They were afraid of the danger, so they decided that telling the whole truth to the Jews was probably the safest thing to do. The frightened soldiers reacted in fear, but also in honesty. But the fake spiritual leaders of Israel reacted in a wickedly sinful and typically hypocritical way with the truth. What did they do? Look at verse 12. They told the chief priests this. Verse 12, and when they, that is the chief priests, were assembled, not just with themselves, but also with the elders, meaning the whole Sanhedrin, and had taken counsel in that assembly, what did they decide? They decided to give large money to the soldiers and to put something in their mouths. This is what you say. And if it comes to Pilate that you were sleeping and stole away the body, then hey, we got large money not only for you, but we'll give him large money to protect you and you'll be safe. He likes money too. Okay. So hastily the spiritual rulers called that meeting in order to further take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed. Just as Psalm 2 said. Against His Christ. Against His Son. The truth could not be denied. Because like all of the rest of the people in the land, they knew that there had been a second earthquake in less than a week. And they knew also, for some of those chief priests had been in the temple, when suddenly and mysteriously and miraculously, the strong veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And they'd seen it. And then there was the mysterious, strange midday darkness of 3 hours. All these things may have been associated with the death of Jesus of Nazareth. It could have possibly, in the back of their mind. Would they allow it? But these consistently duped slaves of Satan, they could not allow the soldiers' report to be made public knowledge. Why? Because they feared the multitude. They wanted to protect themselves from the common people by covering up the truth of what? That they were guilty of murdering their only ever Messiah. They would not let the truth of what the soldiers had seen and what the soldiers had faithfully reported go out to the public. Since they had already cruelly murdered their Messiah, they had no scruples, no trouble at all to devise a lie and tell it to the public. No problem. We just tell them that. They'll accept it. They promised the soldiers protection from their deserved execution if they would only promote this lie. You say this. This is what you say. We were asleep. And His disciples came and stole Him away while we were sleeping. Simple enough, huh? How would the priests and the elders persuade these soldiers and also protect them? With large sums of money. Large money. Great sums of money. Oh, it was bribery on top of lying. It was stealing also, by a wrong use of the people's spiritual offerings and temple taxes. What a horrible crime to so pervert the use of what was given even by sincere believers like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, others that had truly a heart for God. How terrible. But they had already paid Judas Iscariot in silver. And now they would give soldiers and Pilate, if need be, large gifts of silver. That's the actual word. The money is the word in the Greek for silver. Silver, the real stuff, not fake money. Oh, how evident it is that one sin allowed and persisted in. One sin. You allow one sin and you persist in that sin. It will always lead to another sin and to another sin and to another sin. If you do not repent, do you not then see what God means when He says in Hebrews 3:13 about men being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin? One sin, children, one sin unrepented of will destroy your soul. How? By hardening your heart and by deceiving your mind with a false sense of security, by believing the myth that you're getting away with it, that no one will ever know because it's forgotten. I'll never have to face it again. That's a lie.
A lie conceived by the father of lies himself, the devil. For we, notice what God says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us must appear there. We are told in 2 Corinthians 5, 10 and 11 that every one of us may receive the things done in our body while we're alive here on this earth. According to that he has done, whether it be good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Why do I tell you that? It's because that is all right there in that passage. When we think about standing before the Lord and have to admit everything you did to your brother and your sister, every unkindness and disobedience you did to your parents, to stand before the awesome God, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, I seek to persuade you today. Oh my friend, do not go on in your sin. Do not persist in your sin. Rather, turn today. Turn to the Lord. Admit your sin. Confess your sin to the Lord. Turn from that sin. Forsake it. That is real repentance. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Well, we have looked at the frightened soldiers and the fake spiritual leaders. Finally, the false story. Verse 15. So they took the money. Large sums of money. How many bags of silver did each of these men get? And they did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. This false story was contrived by the Jewish leaders, and it was agreed to by the soldiers. How do we know? They took the money. You see that? Right there. And they took the money. They're agreeing with this lie. It was intended both as a protection for them and as a way to try to explain away Christ's glorious resurrection. As a reaction to the resurrection, the lie harmed not only those that devised the lie and those that submitted to it by taking the money. The Jews that accepted it and have repeated it down through the generations, and all of the others that have believe that lie. All the poor fools that have rested on that lie for 2,000 years now. People say, oh yeah. Didn't you read? They stole his body. That's it. This false story not only is contradicted by the pure revelation of God's Word, but also by reason, through logic in minds that accept clear and fair arguments of truth. Now think about the situation. That's the argument. You think about it reasonably. Okay? Just think for a moment. If the soldiers were all asleep, just look at the story. If the soldiers were all asleep, how could they state how, when, and by whom the body was stolen? It's totally illogical. If they're asleep. Are we willing to believe that the terror-stricken apostles would dare to go out in the darkness of night, stumbling around and move that huge boulder with a multitude of soldiers right there at it? Rather, we should be assured that once those soldiers woke up from their supposed nap and saw the tomb open and the seal broken and the body no longer within, the Roman army, aided by the whole Sanhedrin, all of those elders and the Jewish clergy, would that very hour have searched throughout the city of Jerusalem and brought swift punishment upon those Galilean fishermen for trying to deceive the world. You can be sure of that. The false story is further proven to be a misguided myth
by the fact of the church of Jesus Christ, that because of the truth of the resurrection has blossomed for the last 2,000 years. The huge number of Christian martyrs that have been willing to die rather than deny their risen Lord have been the seed that causes the church to leap forward in every generation. And do you understand that only when people know, we sing that song, He lives, He lives. And this is why I know He lives. One way is He lives in my heart. Christ in you. And if you indeed have Christ within you, and I dare say that our dear brothers and sisters who died in Nigeria in the last few days, they were martyred for Christ. They knew in their heart Christ lives. He's risen from the dead. Convinced. Yes. So, only fools would give their lives for a myth. Only fools would give their lives for a myth. True Christians are not fools. Rather, they are wise with the wisdom which is from above. Let us note in conclusion that people believe such lies as this false story because they have never received the love of the truth that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. They spend their lives deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving themselves. Deceiving others and being deceived. The love of money corrupts so many. The love of money corrupts all that worship money and pour forth their affections on that idol, which the Lord calls the idol of covetousness. Sinners think themselves secure from troubles by possessing large sums of money, but large money will not secure anyone from the wrath of the sin-hating Jehovah. The sword of divine justice hangs suspended above the head of every unrepenting sinner that has not come to Jesus. Remember that tolerating one sin in your life, tolerating, allowing, persisting in that one sin will only lead to more sin. And more sin. And more sin. You must get to Jesus. Because of Christ's triumphant resurrection from the dead. It is proven by the plainest and the most sensible evidence. But sinners will not believe it unless convinced by the operation of the Holy Spirit within the heart. By His mighty regenerating power. Let us pray together. We thank Thee, Almighty God, that Thou hast given us Thy truth. Lord, how can I begin to thank Thee for delivering me from that terrible pit of unbelief in not believing in the truth of Thy Holy Scriptures. I thank Thee for the forgiveness of that sin. And Lord, I pray that Thou will beget faith in those who have no faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.